Hey, thanks so much. That was a really awesome introduction. I appreciate that, Mariah. Didn't Mariah do a good job on transitions? Good to have her up here preaching the word. I just want to brag on her for a second. Her and Annie and Dave and the team, they're meeting Thursday nights at the River, and revival is breaking out in our youth. And they're gathering weekly and in small groups, and they're preparing for something great. So if you're a young adult, then that is where you want to be at 7 o'clock, right? 7 o'clock on Thursday at the River. How many here are excited that spring is here? Oh, no, I'm just thankful. I am thankful for that. Anybody get sunburned in the last week or so? I know. Isn't that weird? It's like, yes, I'm not putting sunscreen on. So thankful for spring. What a dramatic change of season. And I'm also thankful to be here this morning. It's great to be here in the house of God. Amen. I just love coming and seeing all of your faces. Sometimes it's a little intimidating seeing all of your faces, but I love it. And I also just want to welcome any guests. We know we got some guests from Australia, right, Elliot? Fantastic. From Perth, right? So did you guys fly, which way did you fly around the world? All around. You had to go a couple times. Yeah, because I know Sydney, you go east, but did you guys go west? Wow. Okay. My wife just flew back from Australia, Sydney, and I'm so thankful because she was gone for 10 days, and that meant that it was survival of the fittest at home. And we survived, so I'm thankful for that too, and I'm thankful for my wife. Annie was a big help. Thank you, Annie. But I'm excited, excited to get into the Word this morning. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Who is ready to get into the Word of God? All right, we're going to try that again. I just want to make sure I'm in the right place here. Who's ready to get into the Word of God this morning? All right. Come on, I want to get excited every time we get into the Word of God, because every time we open the Word of God, we can, with expectation, know that it can transform our lives. That we can go with hunger. That it's not just another word. It's not just a book. This is the living and active Word of God that is eager to speak and transform our lives. And so when we can come with an expectation and excitement, God, speak to us this morning. Speak to us this morning. I believe if you're listening, there's a, as Mariah said, a rhema word. Now there's the logos in the Greek, which is the written word. Then there's the rhema word when it becomes activated in your life. And I don't know about you, but that's what I signed up for this morning. A rhema word that would be spoken into my life. I didn't get up early this morning just to play church. I don't know about you. I want to speak this morning about boldness. Topic on boldness in Acts chapter 4. And this is a topic that I'm praying about potentially doing a series later on in the year, potentially after Easter. By the way, who's excited for Easter? Man, I want to just prepare our hearts right now just to celebrate the resurrection power of Jesus. Not just celebrating, but experiencing what is it to have the resurrection power of Jesus working in my life. And I really feel like after that, maybe doing a series on boldness, the boldness of the believer that we have because of the resurrection power of Jesus. And just to be honest with you this morning, this is something that has been stirring in my heart since the beginning of the year. And at the beginning of the year, there was, probably all of you know, there was an event that took place in New York concerning abortion. And when that happened, I saw that in the news, I was greatly disturbed and I was grieved by it. And for about a couple of days, it was just something unusual. I was just felt sick in my stomach. And just late at night, I was praying. I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, what is going on right now in our nation? What is going on in the world right now? And why am I feeling so grieved? Because logically, like, I was like, I know that this is taking place, right? We know that abortion is taking place. We know that sin and evil is prevalent in our world right now. But I really felt like something was different. And the Lord began to speak to me and said, you know, evil is getting more bold in our nation. And what may have been done in secret or maybe just kind of off to the side is now being brought into the forefront. It's now being celebrated. It's now being blatant. And I felt like the Spirit was beginning to provoke me in my spirit that there's a spirit of evil out there that will not relent, and that it's actually redrawn the boundary lines, if you will. It's actually redrawn the battle lines. It said, I'm going to blatantly do evil in your land. I'm blatantly going to take life in your land. And what are you going to do about it? And there's a question out there, church. What are we going to do about the injustice that is taking place in our nation? The injustice that is taking place in the world. And there's a mocking spirit that's saying, you know what, the church isn't going to do anything. The church is silenced. The church is irrelevant. And you know, I've seen a boldness out there in the kingdom of darkness, deceiving people, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't even wrestle against politicians. Jesus died for them. Jesus died for everybody. We wrestle against principalities and powers that are at work. And we need to rise up with a compassion. I've seen in my lifetime, I've seen the church bold in judgment, bold in complaining. Come on. We love to complain. Come on, we love to complain about things. We love to get bold in that. We love to get on social media and judge and protest. We're good at picketing. We're good about doing those things, you know. We are Protestants, so we protest a lot of things, right? It's in our blood. It's our history. We've been bold at that. But I believe that there's a church that's rising up that is not going to be bold in those former things, but be bold in action, in compassion, in undoing the ties of the enemy. And so bold in positioning our lives. Come on, committing our lives. Designing our lives in such a way that we want to transform the world. That we want to love our neighbor as ourselves. Come on, it's just as simple as that. Come on, that we're willing not just to speak it out. It's easy preaching, it's hard living. Come on, that we are actually making moves in that area. And I really feel like that God is provoking and stirring up the church to get bold in their faith. I say, you know what? The enemy comes in like a flood, but the Spirit of God raises up a standard against it. And we are that church. Amen. Come on, God's raising up a bold church here in this place to go forth in boldness. And you know, I was reading in Acts chapter 4, and we're going to go there, but there's a conflict between the spirit of darkness and God's people. And just to give you a little background on which we're going to read, we're going to turn to verses 17 in a second here. But Peter and John, filled with the Holy Spirit after Pentecost, make the mistake of healing a lame man that has been lame for 40 years outside the temple. I don't know if they chose that spot, but it ended up creating quite a stirring in the religious leaders, because this man had been lame for 40 years. And all of a sudden they come across, and I love the story where he asked for money and he says, you know, silver and gold I have none, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He rose up and walked, and then he went parading around the temple. And after 40 years of being lame, everybody knows that guy's been healed. Created great disturbance, and the religious leaders were greatly disturbed. They immediately threw John and Peter into prison, and it was at night. They couldn't put them on trial, and they were a little scared because of the mob and the people. They were all stirred up. And the next day, they begin to threaten them. They begin to question them, and that's what we'll pick up in the text. If you want to turn there with me in verse 7. It says in chapter 4, verse 7, it says, they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? And I love this, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Verse 13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Right after that, they threatened them, it says in the text. They told them what was going to happen to them if they didn't stop preaching the name of Jesus. And they released them because of the mob. And John and Peter went back to the church. And we'll pick that up here in 23. It says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together. I want to note they had one voice and prayed to God. That's what we did this morning. We raised our voice together in agreement. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant and our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they had prayed, the place that they were meeting was shaken. Come on, that's a prayer meeting I want to be a part of. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Let's pray. God, we just ask right now that your word would begin to move in power on us as a church. I ask right now that you begin to speak to us through the preaching of the word, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help me articulate what's on your heart this morning. God, we're open. God, we're willing. God, we came hungry. God, we came ready to listen. Pray right now, Lord, you begin to just convict our hearts, Lord. God, we know your loving kindness. God, we know that you're here, Lord, that you're a good Father. Jesus, that you love us so much. God, I pray that love will just begin to change us right now. We just receive from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I always found it very intriguing that the believers prayed for boldness in Acts chapter 4. I love Acts, by the way. And I read Acts probably once a year, and I get into the story and the narrative of how the early church was birthed, and you know how the Acts of the Apostles and the Acts of the Holy Spirit begin to pour out in the Roman Empire. And I always come to this story, and I've always kind of just was like, huh, it stuck out to me. Very interesting that they had a prayer meeting in light of what happened, and they prayed for boldness specifically. Okay, they didn't pray for a lot of that. They just prayed specifically for boldness. I kind of feel like I would have prayed for something different. You know, it says earlier in the text that it was Caiaphas, the high priest, and Annas, the same ones that crucified Jesus brutally. I mean, it's one thing just to read about the, you know, these religious rulers. I mean, these guys meant business. These guys were zealots. They were going to stop at nothing in their agenda. I mean, they were going to fight to the death. And we know what they're capable of, what they would do to people that were out of line. The brutality. And they threatened Peter and John, and no doubt that they were shaken up by that. They went back, they told the people, they said, okay, it's time to pray. And I feel like, in light of that, I would have prayed something different. I would have prayed maybe for deliverance. God, would you deliver us from this evil? Deliver us from the enemy. Consider their threats, Lord. Rescue us. Have you ever prayed that before? God, I don't know what I'm going to do. They're after me. I mean, they're going to crucify us. They're going to kill us. And it says that there was intimidation. There was threats. You can imagine just that spirit of intimidation coming in, praying on them. They're praying, God, God, we're crying out. But I've noticed something, that God doesn't like to save people twice. You can tell that's messing with some theology here. Excellent. He doesn't like to save people twice. See, Jesus died on the cross to save us from sin and death. We are saved. The enemy comes in. The Bible says in Romans 8, it says, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead also lives in you. God doesn't like to have to save you twice. When the enemy comes in, when the opposition comes in, we say, God, rescue us, save us from this. God says, no, I want to empower you in your situation. I want to empower you here. Don't forget that you have the power. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead also lives in you. So God, we pray not for a rescue mission to come in and save us from this war zone. God, we ask you for boldness. We ask you for the power of God to rise up in us to overcome the enemy. Come on, am I preaching to somebody this morning? We need to change our prayers sometimes. God, don't rescue me. Don't save me. God, I want you to empower me. God, I want you to teach me the authority that I have in you so that I not can flee from the enemy, that I can overcome the enemy, that you can be glorified. Does he get any glory when we run? Come on. He's called us to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. And I believe there's some people in here this morning that God's saying, I need you to change your prayer. You've been saying, God, get me out of this situation. Deliver me. He says, I have saved you. Now I want to empower you. I want to give you the tools. I want to give you the sword. I want to build you up in the Spirit. And I want to see you to be an overcoming Christian, an overcoming church. There's a beautiful picture of this in Isaiah 10:27 that I love. You've probably heard that phrase, the anointing breaks the yoke. But I just want to explain a little bit of what that means. It says in Isaiah 10:27, it says, in that day, talking about the people of God, the burden will be taken off your shoulder and the yoke off your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Now that word anointing actually means fatness. Thank you, baby. I can get enthusiastic about that too. And there's this picture of the people of God are the oxen, right? And the yoke of oppression is the enemy bowing down on the neck of the oxen. And the Word of God says that you are going to begin to thrive and begin to become strong in the midst, despite the enemy's oppression. And you're going to become so strong because of the fatness of the anointing that the yoke will no longer be able to withstand on your shoulders, and it will begin to break and snap. Come on, this is the picture of God empowering the believer. And I really feel like there are people here that have yokes on their neck of slavery and oppression. And we're saying, God, take that yoke off my neck. And God says, you know, I'm going to empower you. I'm going to make you thrive in your situation and season. So much so that the yoke of the enemy is going to snap under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I want to be a believer, church. I want to be a believer that when the enemy tries to put a yoke on me, that I know who I am in Christ, that I build myself up in the fatness of the anointing, and that I'm going to thrive. God, you don't need to remove me from that situation. I'm going to change that situation. You don't need to remove me from a hard situation that I've been complaining. God, I am going to be the change there. And that we would be this church that would have fat necks. Come on. Now the enemy is just, I just can't get my yoke around their neck anymore. Come on, the yoke of offense can't fit on my neck anymore. It's going to snap right off. The yoke of unbelief, it can't fit on my neck. Come on, God wants to stir up in a thriving church. And I feel like there's people that Or you're here and you're in a situation that you feel it's hopeless, and God wants to bring a message of courage to you and say, you know what? I'm willing to make you thrive in a season that you thought was barren. Maybe it's even in a job, a situation with family. I'm going to make you thrive in that. You're going to know your authority. You're going to know who you are in Christ. It doesn't matter where you are. You could be in prison, and you're going to begin to thrive. You're going to begin to thrive. You're going to begin to sing hymns and songs to God, and the earth is going to shake. The chains are going to fall off. Come on, that's the God that we serve. Boldness. Parousia is the word used here for boldness. It's a Greek word, parousia. I've been working on pronouncing that, so why don't you pronounce that with me? Can you try it? Parousia. Parousia. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Just kidding. I did like the audio and everything. It was like, parousia. Boldness. It's a Greek word, and the word originated from the ancient Greeks when they would have their open form debates, okay? Greeks were strong believers in freedom of speech. And they would have these democratic debates where philosophers and people would come and they would begin to debate philosophy, religion, whatever. And it was said for those that would be able to speak the word with courage, clarity, and conviction amongst great intimidation, they would say, well, that person has parousia. And we have some great philosophers that came from that era. I mean, it was intense. People would be under great pressure. And they say, well, that person was able to articulate under great pressure, under great opposition, the parousia, the boldness. And so when they're praying to God, they're saying, God, give us parousia. Give us boldness. And amongst great opposition, great threats and intimidation, God, we don't want to be silenced. We want to have boldness in the midst of that, despite that. And you can have a democratic government. You can have freedom of speech, but the enemy will always go after the speech. Saul. He will always go after your voice. And so they didn't pray for God. I want you to protect, you know, our assets. I want you to protect our bodies and everything. He said, God, give us courage and boldness to speak the word boldly. Because it was the name of Jesus that they're saying, we've had enough of that, you guys. I thought it was interesting that they didn't say, don't gather anymore. We're just going to take a short commercial break. Actually, I'm going to grab a drink of water. Thank you, Saul. I just love the kids crawling up all over the stage. And they always press the limits. You know, my kids are like, you know, they go on the step and they go on the stage and they're kind of looking back like, is this okay? It's like, no. The first step is okay. There's like an age. Yeah. But then when they start like, you know, like, look, worship's not about you, okay? When we see that it's going to their head, then I think we need to intervene, you know. Doesn't the Lord do that with us too? It starts going to our head. He's like, okay, I'm going to take it down a notch. Get off the stage. The enemy's after the word of God, specifically the name of God, Jesus. What name are you guys doing this in? Well, if you got to know, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, it's the name of Jesus, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead. Quit speaking that name. We are done with that name. Okay? They didn't say, you can't gather anymore. You can't heal anymore. They said you need to stop saying the name of Jesus. Stop saying the name of Jesus. You know, the enemy tries so hard to get the power of God's word and his name out of our mouth. Romans 10 says that when the word of God, the Logos, is received in our hearts and declared in our mouth, power is released. And you know, the written word is bad enough. But man, when the written word becomes the spoken word, the enemy trembles. When the name of Jesus is declared in authority, the enemy flees. Jesus has given us power of attorney. Now, if you're too familiar with power of attorney, hopefully not, because sometimes it can be messy when you have like power of attorney going on. But we had an experience where we bought a house, and our first house, and Beck couldn't be there. So she gave my mom power of attorney to sign on the house. And just a long story short, power of attorney is I'm giving you authority of my name to make decisions, to sign on it for an asset or whatever, and you have power of authority. You know, Jesus gave us power of attorney. We need to understand that. When we use the name of Jesus, in Matthew 28 says, all authority has been given to me. Now go baptize, save, heal in the name of what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I have given you authority. Whatever you bind in heaven will be bound on earth. Whatever you loose in heaven will be loose on earth. When we understand that, church, we have power of attorney, that when we speak the name of Jesus, that things shake. When we know that, the name of Jesus is so powerful. There's power in the name of Jesus. It's power. I love that song. I just sing that over my daughters when they're scared at night. Actually, now there's a new one. You make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. You silence, teaching our children to use the name of Jesus. The power of Jesus. Understanding that when you use that name, that authority is released. But you got to understand that, because there's a lot of people using the name of Jesus when they're getting upset on the interstate. The enemy doesn't respond to that. He doesn't. He responds to the believer that knows the authority that that name carries. Jesus, I declare in Jesus' name. The enemy is waiting. Wait, does he know that that name has authority? Yes, I do. Okay, we're out of here. I used to have night terrors when I was younger. And I would have dreams and just like demonic attacks at night. And I would get so paralyzed, like a spirit of fear would come on me, and I would get so paralyzed, I couldn't move. Like I couldn't move. You know, fear does that, right? It paralyzes you. And I was just like, couldn't move at all, and I could barely say anything. But I knew that my mom said, when the enemy comes, that you need to use the name of Jesus. And I had all I could do in these moments to just say, Jesus. Immediately, the spirit left. Immediately, the enemy had to flee, because I knew the power that that name carried. Come on, the religious leaders knew that the power was in the name. They knew that Jesus carried power. The demonic energy at that time knew that the power was in the name of Jesus. And the believers are praying, God, we ask for boldness. Come on, it's not just enough to be a church that does good things, that goes out. That's great that we're loving on people and we're showing, you know, goodwill towards one another, but we need to go out with the banner of Jesus Christ and say, okay, if you want to know why we're doing these things, how God has transformed it, it's because of Jesus Christ, and there's no other name in which we can be saved. We've got to lift the name of Jesus high. We've got to celebrate the name of Jesus and say, He is the one that set us free. I was just praying this morning, God, this is your church. No one else died on the cross for this church. Jesus paid it all. Jesus went down and plundered hell so that he could have his reward, so that we could be reconciled. We need to know that there is not only authority, but there is value, there is power, there is majesty and glory in that name. He has given us that power. Now I just want to leave us with one point this morning. I usually do a three-point message. One point this morning. So if I go up to you later this week and say, what was it that I preached on? You don't have to remember one thing. Key essential, and I would say the only essential For bold, the boldness of the believer is found in verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished that they had took note that these men had been with Jesus. Come on, I want to take note that they took note that they had been with Jesus. Friends, there's no substitute for spending time with Jesus. There's no substitute. Sometimes we can get so busy. We can get so distracted. And it's everywhere. But you cannot substitute spending time with the Lord, seeking His face, carving out time. And I don't know if you've noticed, but distractions seem to be more and more as you get older. And even more and more with the way our culture is right now. I mean, there's 1,000 different ways we can distract ourselves. We can even distract ourselves with good works. Sometimes we can get so caught up with doing the work of the Lord that we forget the Lord of the work. Come on, I stole that from somebody. I was like, I'm going to use that. But isn't that true? Like even in ministry, good things, parenting, marriage, we're doing all these things that God has brought us, but they had spent time with Jesus. And the world took note. Okay, these guys, they're unschooled and ordinary. Something doesn't add up here. Can anyone relate to that? I mean, I'll be the first to raise my hand. Ordinary. Tell you, when ordinary people do extraordinary things, people take note. It's like, you know, when people that are like pampered and trained and groomed and everything, like, oh yeah, of course, that makes sense. But when ordinary people do extraordinary things, like, wait, something doesn't add up here. They've been with Jesus. They've spent time with Jesus. I was encouraged this week as Ron Clark, who was leading worship, was just saying, you know, I was getting up early to exercise and work out, you know, super early in the morning, disciplined, and that's all fine and dandy and fantastic. But he said, you know, the Lord convicted me and said, you know what, if you've got discipline to get up early and work out, what about spending time with me? And so he changed his whole discipline. And he's not working out anymore. Where's Ron? There he is. But he still looks good. Come on. He's getting up early, seeking the Lord early in the morning. So I'm going to establish this first. I'm going to be with Jesus. And I can just say right now, I could tell him leading worship, he had been with Jesus. He'd been spending time with Jesus. The world takes note when you are spending time with Jesus. Come on, as a testimony. I want to brag on my little sister for a second. Annie. Yeah, I got a few little sisters. I'll brag on you later, Lauren. But she's working in a place that is a very dark place. And I won't say what, you know, company it is, because I want her, we're in a small town, okay? But very against God. The only Christian there. And she's been working, and she comes back, and she's like, oh my gosh, you know. But she gets prayed up, she goes there, and she's a testimony. And you know what? I was at Baby Greens the other day, and her coworker came running up to me. I don't know her coworker. She says, are you Annie's brother? I said, yes. She goes, you got to know your sister is a gem. She is a light. She has an energy that I just don't understand. And I just kind of was smirking. I was like, she's letting her light shine. Yeah. People are taking note. People are taking note. She's been with Jesus. And then the manager said, when they were hiring, they said, we need to hire another Annie in this place. Come on, the world may be adverse to the church and God, but they cannot deny when you've been with Jesus. And it's the light. We are called to be a city on a hill. Come on, we are called the salt and the light. And I want to encourage you, if you're in a dark place, if you're in a place that you're just, man, it's oppressive. It could be on the university. It could be in your job. Spending time with Jesus makes a difference. Taking time, building yourself up in the Word, building yourself up through prayer, building yourself up through worship, and the world will take note. You'll be a shining light in that place. Come on, the world will take note, and I really believe that people are going to start saying, not just about a few that are in the room, but about those people at my church. Man, we need to hire another one of them. Man, there's something about them. They're just ordinary people. There's nothing, you know, it doesn't add up, but they've been with Jesus and there's something different about them. And we're going to change the name of the church in this place. People are going to start saying, we want to have more of that. Not be adverse to what they've experienced, but say, you know what? We want to go to church. We want to be around you. I just love it when I want to encourage people, don't live in such a way that you're inviting people to church. Live in such a way that people are inviting themselves and saying, you know what? I don't know what it is about your life, but I want to go check that place out. And let me tell you, Easter's coming up. What a great opportunity to invite people to church. And say, hey, you want to come? And, you know, we're going to have some breakfast and all that stuff. And yeah, it gets a little rowdy in here. It does. Alex, I thought he was just going crazy on the drums. I love it. I'm going to have to retune those drums, though. I want to bring this to a close. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up after I've talked about them a little bit. And you can stand up. We're just going to close. I just wanted to end with a word that I felt come in the last week or so. I was praying and... Man, I got excited about spring coming so dramatically because it had been pretty cold and I was running out of firewood. I was kind of just shocked by how abruptly the season change had come. You know, I've been alive for a long time, right? And I was like, I've never been through such an abrupt season change. And I thought, well, you know, I'm not that old, so maybe it's happened before. And I was talking to this older lady at Lake Pat, and she goes, you know, the whole time I lived in Bellingham, my whole life, I've never experienced such an abrupt season change. And I was praying to God, and I was saying, God, what's going on? You know, what are you saying? What are you speaking through this? And I also heard that, you know, we're in for one of the more warmer spring seasons and one of the more warmer summers. And so the fire department is getting ready for potential forest fires and all those things. But it's kind of an unprecedented thing. I felt like the Lord said, I want to bring a sudden season change to people's lives and to the church. And I want to bring people into what has been a winter season, a dormant season that may have been a hard season, into a season of fruitfulness. And then he reminded me, as I saw the weather changing, that I have this apple tree that I like to prune, and I've been getting better at pruning it. And I know the season for pruning is in the dormant winter season. And so I saw that forecast come, and I ran out as fast as I could, and I began to prune my apple tree. The point is this. I really feel that God is wanting to bring some change, some sudden change into people's lives. A sudden season change. But you need to understand the season that you're coming out of first. And it may have been a hard season. It may have been a dormant season. It may have been a cold season. But you know what? The cold season has a purpose. And God often prunes in a hard season so that you can be fruitful in the following season. And if we don't understand that, we're going to miss out on the fruit that God has for us. And so I just want to encourage you, if you feel like you relate to that, and you're just like, I don't fully understand. Maybe you and the Holy Spirit need to run out into your soul with those pruning things and say, okay, God, just take it. Just take what is not fruitful. Take what you need to take and do the work that you need to do so that I can step into the new and I can step into the fresh, because God has new life, new wine, new prosperity that he wants to release on his people. But we got to go through the process that he wants to bring us through so we can be fruitful. Amen. And I just want to take a moment, just us taking a moment as a church. If you would just close your eyes and we'll just pray together. The Bible says that every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. And sometimes we think that pruning is because we did something wrong. I feel like God wants to say, no, that's not it at all. I'm proud of you. You've been fruitful in the last season, and I want you to become even more fruitful. And there might even be some hard situations and circumstances that you've been getting offended or bruised or even angry at God. And I believe God wants to just bring revelation to that right now and say, you know what? I want to bring you into the more. And I'm a good God. And I have good things for this new season. And so God, right now, we just surrender. We surrender every part of our life. If you will with me this morning, just bravely lift your hand and surrender and say, God, I want to surrender every part of my life right now. Every part that's holding me back, every weight, every distraction, every snare right now. And God, I want to step into the new season with great fruitfulness, with everything that you have for me. Jesus mighty name. It might be a relationship that needs to be cut out. Come on. Might be a boyfriend or a girlfriend that God's saying, you know what? It's time to break that off. It's not healthy. It might be a way of thinking. It may be an offense that you finally need to forgive that keeps coming up. It may be issues that you felt like you've had forever. And God says, you know, I want to deal with that now. No longer will you be plundered. And so right now, we just, with great faith and expectation, God, we just surrender to your will and your way in our life. Your will and your way in our life. Thank you, Lord. I just believe the Holy Spirit is doing a work right now. Thank you, Lord, for a surrendered church. Lord, for a surrendered believer right now. We just say, God, all that you have for your church in Whatcom County, in Bellingham, God, we say, use us. Send us. We ask right now for boldness to preach the gospel in love, in demonstration, boldness. God, we enter into a new season of Resurrection Sunday, God, with resurrection power. God, I pray right now you begin to stir in us a boldness to invite, to declare, to make Jesus famous in this season right now as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. I pray there will be great demonstration, Lord, of your power in new life and people's lives in Jesus' name. And just one last thing. We did a call a couple of years ago on seeking the one. Seeking the one in our life. Just as Jesus abandoned the 99 and went after the one, that we would pray and God say, is there one in my life that I can preach the gospel to, that I can pray for and contend for their salvation? I just want to encourage you right now that God hasn't forgotten that one, if you have. God hasn't forgotten that one. And I was praying about the one that God gave me. And I said, God, give me opportunities. Give me more opportunities. And he had a birthday. And I was like, God, I want to do something for his birthday. And it passed. And God gave me an opportunity to give love and represent just the kindness of the Lord to that individual. And it really stirred my faith. Keep praying. Keep praying for that lost loved one. Keep praying for that lost friend, that neighbor, as we come into this unique season. And let's see the harvest come in to the storehouses and the harvest come into the kingdom. Let's see Jesus have his reward that he purchased for his suffering. Amen. Amen. Well, God is good. And I really believe that he's filling us with the power and gumption of his Holy Spirit. And I just want to say, be blessed. We're going to close here. I'm going to invite the prayer team to come up. And just like every week, and I just feel like even especially in the last few weeks, there's been great ministry that's been taking place after we've closed. If you need prayer, or if you need to make a decision for Jesus this morning, or you need to stand with somebody and say, would you pray with me? Or you want to pray for your lost loved ones, then stay here and do business with the Lord before you leave. Just want to encourage you. The musicians are going to play. This is still a place of ministry that's taking place. Then be bold and do that. For the rest of us, I just want to say have a great, awesome Sunday, rest of your weekend. Go out and enjoy the good weather that we're having. Okay, do yourself a big favor. It's going to rain for a couple days this week. Get out there today and be blessed. We'll see you in the coffee house. We'll see you next week on Sunday. And everybody said, amen.